is blindly going down the drain with the occupiers of Palestine. In fact, treason is writ large on the faces of the pirates of Manama, who imprisoned the innocent Bahraini people, tortured them, killed them, expelled them, and deprived them of their birthrights. A couple of days ago, in an affront to the proud Muslim people of Bahrain, the Al Khalifa allowed the Zionist regime to open its embassy in Manama, ignoring the vociferous protest of the tens of thousands of Bahrainis who once again took to the streets to express solidarity with the oppressed Palestinian Muslims. Eitan Naa was nominated recently as the Zionist regime's first ambassador to Bahrain the same day that Bahrain's first ambassador to the occupied territories, Khaled Yusuf Al-Jalama, met with Foreign Minister Yair Lapid in the Knesset and presented him with a copy of his diplomatic credentials. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas said Bahrain has actually demonstrated its complicity in crimes committed by the Zionist regime against Palestinians by appointing its first ambassador to the occupied territories. Hamas spokesperson Hazem Qasem said the appointment of an ambassador of the Bahraini regime to the Zionist entity reflects its insistence on the national sin that it committed when it signed the normalization agreement with the occupation. Qasem noted that the move represents Bahrain's clear support for Israeli regime's atrocities against the Palestinians and its full complicity in the crimes committed by Tel Aviv. Bahrainis, meanwhile, have staged a demonstration in condemnation of normalization of diplomatic ties between the tiny Persian Gulf sheikhdom and the illegal Zionist entity. People took to the streets recently to condemn the repressive Al Khalifa regime's unnatural ties with the Israeli regime, calling it treason. The participants demanded that the Al Khalifa regime relinquish power and allow a just system representing all Bahrainis to be established. The protesters voiced solidarity with jailed political activists and demanded their immediate release. Analysts believe that it is only a matter of time for the Al Khalifa and the Zionist regime to meet their deserving end, since they cannot continue to resist the people's will.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, you are listening to our program Islamic Upbringing, wherein we discuss problems, issues, and just general questions that parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. As usual, all of our answers are based upon the Holy Quran and the narrations of the household of the Prophet and the Prophet himself, of course. Joining us in our studio is our guest speaker and expert, Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi, who is a researcher at the Islamic Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us again, dear Sayyid. Our question today regards complimenting our children and how important it can be for their personality. Dear Sayyid, please enlighten us.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Many parents, they think that the things that their children do, you know, the good things, is just a natural thing. That's what's supposed to be done.
It's what it is expected of them.
Yeah, it's like if my kid brushes his teeth, yep, that's it, that's his job. If my child, for example, cleans his room, yep, that's his job.
If my child
does his homework, yes, this is a job. It's that sometimes we have this idea and belief of things that we never compliment them on. But the minute they make the simplest mistake,
we strike down hard.
We not just strike down, we scold them, right? We whoop them hard. And we start yelling and screaming at them. So why is it only, you know, the good things are just, they're meant to be natural, that we don't need to compliment, but anything wrong is not natural that we need to punish. It doesn't exactly seem to be very fitting. It doesn't seem to be very
just. No, you put it that way. It doesn't seem logical,
doesn't seem very fair. Mm. So in the same way that you would scream at them at the simplest mistake. So sometimes, like, imagine this. A child, like, you're watching TV, you're watching a soccer game or something, and the child passes the TV, and you yell at him, like, move, right?
Right.
I'm like, take it easy. So the simplest thing provokes you and makes you yell at them and scold them. But when they do good things,
yeah.
It goes unmentioned. Children themselves, in their tiny, small brains, they need to be complimented for anything and everything, right? Even if it doesn't exist. Sometimes, like, mind you, as adults, we need to be complimented.
Yes, that's what,
right? I finished this program, I'm expecting the producer to come say to me, MashaAllah, that was the best program ever.
Right, yeah.
It's a human nature. Like, well, I'm not doing it for real, but it's a human nature that we need to be complimented for things, even though we should not, you know, take it to an extreme limit. But kids need to be complimented for the simple things that you think they are natural and they should be done and they are the norm. You need to come and give them compliment for it.
Also, we need to remember, you are a grown-up, you're an adult, you know that this is how the things should be. This child knows nothing.
Exactly. So, if the child brushes his teeth every night, tell him, good boy.
For example.
Right? Excellent, well done, you know. Great, you brush your teeth.
Good job.
So, it becomes, he gives him an encouragement that he keeps doing it in years to come. I said brushing teeth because no one ever complimented me.
Right.
So, you know, as example. So that's how it goes.
Dear Sayyid, we will just take a quick break. We'll be back shortly, dear listeners.
When I was born, the first words that I had heard were the words of Allah being whispered through my ear. And as I felt Allah's presence in my soul, that day Islam took me in its fold.
Dear listeners, welcome back to your program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing how important it is to compliment our children because it enforces good behavior and it also teaches them what is good and what is expected. Dear Sayyid, please continue.
So, therefore, when we see them do things, we need to compliment them. That's one thing. Another thing that we need to keep in mind, because we constantly busy as parents, especially if we're working and stuff like that, and we don't have enough time to spend with our children, you know, give them whatever they require, especially when it comes to complimenting. But that time that we are with them, so let's say I come back from home around 5 o'clock, and I have 2-3 hours with my kids before I go to sleep, and I'm tired. And obviously I'm not complimenting them for anything they've done good because I think it's natural.
Right.
But then again, every time they do a mistake, I pick on it. I yell at them. I fight at them. And then what the brain of the child will do is he will associate me only with negative feedback.
Right.
So it's like, this guy, all he does is just gives me bad and negative feedback.
Just like good cop, bad cop, but in a parent.
Yeah,
wait.
So there's always just a bad cop.
There's always the father who's yelling, and there's the mother who's the compassionate one, or the opposite way.
Exactly. So the child says, okay, this person, nothing but negative comes from him, and I need attention. And if I want attention, I want to get it from my father and my mother, right? I want that compliment and the attention. But this guy is constantly negative. There's nothing good in him. So what are you doing to the child? You're making him go somewhere else. Either he gets deprived of it, and we spoke about what happens when a child is deprived emotionally in other episodes, or he goes seeks it elsewhere, and also
seeks
this is not something
elsewhere
that we want. So we need to make sure that the children look at us as the core of everything that is good, not the core of everything that is bad.
Like support beams, for example.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So if I compliment much, even like as simple as the child washing his hand after food or before food, picking up his plate from the table, taking his shoes off before he gets in the house. These are just normal things that he needs to do. But because you compliment him, it makes a child grow up. For example, when I grew up, we're always being told, like, every time we finish the meal, thank you, mom. We'll say, thank you, mother, for the beautiful meal today.
Right.
We say that every single meal, right? I know my mother doesn't need it, but just it gives her that sense of, you know,
appreciation.
You're actually,
you're loved,
you know, acknowledging her work. She doesn't need your thanks, but at least you're acknowledging. And sometimes we forget, we forget to say it. I was like, oh, so what happened today? You're not thanking me?
Right.
Not that she doesn't want it, but you're like something, you know.
You're not like the food?
Yeah. So it's a human thingy that we need to be thanked and we need to be complimented. So when it comes to children, so as I said, is as simple as taking their shoes off or simple as brushing their teeth or doing their bed or what have you, they need to be complimented so they could feel important, they could feel loved, and then that's how we said it increases that thing that you want them to do. The more you encourage them, the more they will do it, because this is how the child works. He constantly needs to be praised. Human beings, we work on praise. You praise me, I'll do it for you. You don't praise me, I don't do it for you. And even kings, mind you, even kings. A king, before someone addresses him, he has to give him 1,000 titles before he's addressed.
There's so many titles.
Yeah, I mean, like,
why
would you need titles if you're already the king?
You own
everything. But that does not satisfy his inner need, right? It's like, I'm owning everything. That's one thing. But me being called the king, your majesty, this, it gives me that satisfaction of my ego.
So wanting these compliments is actually intrinsic to human nature.
It is a human nature.
Right.
Yeah.
And on that note, we will be taking a quick break. Dear listeners, we'll be back shortly.
Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, Allah will be merciful to his servant for his intense love for his child.
Welcome back to your listeners to your program, Islamic Upbringing. Today's topic is complimenting and how vastly, vastly important it is for the child, because, as we know, it is also important for adults. Dirsay, please continue the discussion.
So, some of the benefits of thanking and complimenting a child on a daily, mind you, it has to be a daily, on a daily basis.
Oh, it needs to be constantly.
It needs to be constant. You can't just do it one day and, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, it's good, you're brushing your teeth and then forget it like for two or three months.
It's not a tank you fill up or a battery you fill up.
Like I said, human beings, like I think we mentioned this in the previous episode, we are like a, we're like a phone. We are like a battery. Right. We drain out of everything, especially when it comes to emotions. We need to be charged, constantly charged. On a daily basis, we need to be charged. In the same way that you charge your phone every half an hour because the thing's going to run out, so is people.
Also, humans, they love feedback.
Yeah, we do need. We feed and we thrive. We grow on it. Like we said, we one of our dimensions is the emotional dimension.
Right.
That needs to be fed. And so when it comes to kids, especially kids, because they require too much of it because they are, this is the time where they are growing up. So they need a lot of praise and a lot of compliments. So one thing that it does to the child when he is being complimented and praised makes him happy. He feels a sense of happiness, which makes him believe in himself.
Right.
Right? So I want my child to be happy. I don't want him to be sad. So either he's sad or he's just natural or neutral, I should
of
say.
Of course, yeah.
He's a neutral, just nothing is happening. But I can change that neutral state into a happy state just by complimenting him. Making him happy through that neutral state, pushing it up by just saying two words, right? It makes him, now he's happy, it makes him believe more in himself, right? Like, I'm happy, I'm good, I'm doing something, I'm achieving. So you build the self-esteem.
There's no downside to complimenting. No. Maybe perhaps no. Complimenting too much can maybe be a problem, but it seems that as much as you compliment, there's no problem.
There is nothing, especially like with kids. So one, it gives them, it makes them happy, and make them happy, it boosts their
self-esteem their, and
their
confidence.
Level of self-esteem. Mm. Two, it makes them, receive this good words and, you know, these good notions and these good compliments from their parents. And then they can give it back as well. So when you charge your phone allows you to use it.
Right.
If your phone turns off out of charge, you can't use the phone anymore. So it's like a relationship between us and the phone, that I charge you, but you let me use you.
It's give and take.
Give and take. Same thing with a child. When you give him these emotions and these nice feelings that you give to him, and he feels valued, and he feels like as he's a human being, he's a person, he has a existence, he will, in return, give it back to people and value them as well. So in the same way that, for example, you know, if you see kids, I've seen this a lot of kids, they take something, they say thank you. Or they want to get something, they say please. Always thank you. I've seen some kids, whatever you give them, whatever, they just say thank you. And that tells me what? It tells me that their parents give them a lot of compliments. They always compliment their kids to the extent that it became a habit that they themselves have to compliment someone else. Or say to them, before anything, I talk to my kids. Before anything, I say, could you please. It's my child, but I say please to him. And in return, my child will be what? Saying to everyone, please. Instead of saying, give me this. So it makes a huge difference.
It's so the best difference. Yes.
Yeah, so when you say it, it always returns back and gives you a value in return. Third thing it does, it makes the child feel he's loved in the household, which is very important. We all need to be loved.
That's what we want for our children.
Yeah, so we want to be loved. I need to feel that my parents are love me and they have feelings towards me. When I hear them complimenting me, it means that they actually love me. Simple as that. So we'll leave it up to you.
Dear Sayyid, our time for today's program is unfortunately up. Dear listeners, thank you for joining us and tuning in. As usual, if you have any questions, suggestions, or just some feedback, you can contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir. Alternatively, you can also visit our website, parsuday.com. Until another program, Allah bless you all.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.
food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and how about contemplating on a beautiful statement from the martyr of Karbala, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. Certainly, these people have come to staunchly obey Satan and given up on obeying the compassionate. They showed mischief, stopped acting in accordance with Islamic laws, took Muslims' property for themselves, made the haram designated by Allah halal, and turned his halal into haram.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The Light.
An extraordinary concert has entertained hundreds of people in the German city of Dresden. Musicians performed underwater while five steamboats accompanied them with their whistles. The City Symphony Orchestra organized the event in an attempt to boost up people exhausted by the COVID-19 pandemic. Residents welcomed the program, describing it as a glimmer of hope. They believe that the unusual concert was good for heart and soul.
Young generations are becoming more concerned about our planet and seem determined to contribute to make it environmentally friendly. A great example is this Parisian boy who spends a lot of time fishing metals out of rivers and canals in the French capital. Good for him. 11-year-old Raphael uses magnets and grappling irons to fish metal objects out of the Seine River in Paris. Over the past 2 years, he has taken hundreds of bikes, scooters and shopping trolleys out of the water. The boy says the practice was initially a hobby for him, but it eventually turned into a reasonability and a method to raise awareness about climate and environmental issues.
My goal is to raise awareness so that a maximum of people do something. They don't have to do what I do, but at least do something. Even if it's not necessarily cleaning up cannons, it could just be picking up a cigarette butt.
Raphael has also fished some very rare items out of different canals, including handguns, pieces of jewelry, and an artillery shell. An exhibition is therefore being held in Paris where Raphael's findings are going to be put on display. The young environmentalist has also been awarded the Medal of Paris, a prize belonging to the residents who accomplish a deed concerning the city. Brazilian researchers have discovered a substance that could be used as a drug against COVID-19, and you may not like where they found it. A group of scientists have come across a potentially life-saving molecule in the venom of a kind of Brazilian pit viper. It is a peptide or a chain of amino acids that limited reproduction of the coronavirus in monkey cells by 75%. The peptide can be synthesized in the laboratory, so there is no need to capture more vipers. Now the researchers will evaluate whether the molecule can be used to create medicine for treating people with COVID-19. Thousands of cows have descended from their summer quarters in the Swiss Alps to enjoy the warm temperatures of lower heights. The cattle herds spent 7 weeks in the Alpine mountains, grazing at an altitude of nearly 2,000 meters. Their journey down started before sunrise and took almost 5 hours to complete. The cows, which couldn't make the trek due to injury, had already been carried down using trucks and helicopters. Farming has found an alternative look in the Netherlands, where cows produce milk on an eco-friendly floating farm. That may seem a surreal image of Rotterdam, the largest port in Europe. A herd of cows peacefully feed on board of what is known as the world's first floating farm. They live on the top floor of the three-story farm, while their milk is turned into dairy products on the other two floors. The floating farm opened in 2019. The owners say it aims to show the future of breeding and farming.
You must realize that the world is under pressure. Therefore, we have less and less land, agricultural land. Our idea is that in this way, we can actually create agricultural land close to the city and also adaptable to the climate.
The floating farm is seen as a good alternative for normal farming in the Netherlands. That's a country with scarce land while being threatened by climate change. The farm's owners have also applied eco-friendly methods to make it durable and self-sufficient as much as possible. The methods include using solar panels and feeding the cows with grass from sports fields.
An Australian cyclist has become the first woman in history to pull off a front flip on a mountain bike. Caroline Birkenen landed the front flip at the OD9 cycling event in the German city of Birkenfeld. The maneuver won the former two-time Olympian the women's best trick title in the event. This was the first time the nines featured a female category. The annual event gathers the world's best slopestyle and freeride mountain cyclists to Germany. A spectacular light show has mesmerized people in a Greek capital, Athens. 200 colorful drones performed a short harmonized display illuminating the night sky. Their colors and shapes were changing alongside music tracks. The show, organized by the Athens Cultural Center, took place 120 meters above the National Opera and Library. An Afghan woman has received the gift of life at a most unlikely time while flying. 26-year-old Sama Nouri was on a plane bound for Birmingham when she started having contractions. She gave birth to a little girl in an altitude of 10,000 meters with the help of the cabin crew. Born in Kuwaiti airspace, the baby is named Hawa, which means Eve or Air in Dari. Both mother and daughter are completely healthy. The aircraft was carrying Afghan citizens evacuated from Kabul. The passengers left behind their old lives, but were gifted with a new one in the process. After all, life does find a way. A French graffiti artist has created a monumental mountaintop project to encourage a more contemplative approach to life, aiming at lifting people's spirits. The giant 1,500 square meter painting is called A New Lease of Life. It was painted on the summit of Mollison Peak in the western Swiss Alps. The 32-year-old artist says He was inspired by the likeness of childlike wonder. The mural depicts a little boy blowing bubbles in an area known for its clouds. The artist says he wanted to reflect the link between children and sky gazing.
I think we live in a world that includes anxiety, and we need a little lightness to balance it. So I believe that the clouds mean dreams and imagination. When we were kids, we liked to imagine shapes in the clouds and so on. And I believe that this is a moment where we have to breathe and also imagine the world of tomorrow with a certain lightness through daydreaming.
Saif also says he designs his creations to fit in with the environment using biodegradable paints made from natural pigments. The French artist is known for his massive graffiti works on grass that are best seen from the air. Some of his other works have adorned an impoverished shanty town in South Africa and the lawn in front of the UN headquarters in Geneva.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
One of Mexico's largest zoos has launched a one-of-a-kind exhibition with the star of the show being a manatee couple. Visitors will be able to see the couple at the new exhibition, which is part of the largest aquarium in the country. The zoo received the manatee couple from the Caribbean with the intention of raising awareness for the protection of the species. Part of the ticket proceeds will go towards conservation efforts. Manatees are fully aquatic, mostly herbivorous marine mammals that are sometimes known as sea cows. These funny-looking creatures are endangered because of pollution and fishing techniques.
Paleontologists in Egypt have discovered fossilized bones of an ancient whale that could probably walk on land and swim in water. Scientists found the skull, jaw, and some ribs and identified the parts as the 43-million-year-old ancestor of the modern whale. It's also the earliest type of semi-aquatic whale found in Africa. The whale is estimated to have been 10 meters in length, weighing over half a ton, and was likely a top predator. Scientists say the four-legged whale is a key new species that helps trace the transition of whales from land to sea. Paleontologists believe that the ancestors of modern whales developed from deer-like mammals living on land over a 10-million-year period. The fossilized remains were discovered in Egypt's western desert, which was once covered by sea. A French beekeeper has invented a unique device to keep his beehives safe after suffering a traumatic loss of 35 of them to hungry Asian hornets. The device is a one-way mechanism that baits hornets with sugary water, and once they get in through a funnel, they never come out. Originally, the trap was made of wooden crates and metal mesh, but now they are 3D printed in plastic. Dennis made his first lobster pot to catch the hornets in 2016 and now makes the traps in bulk due to growing demand. The Asian hornets are an invasive insect that arrived in France via a pottery shipment from China. The killer hornet can eat through an entire hive in a matter of hours. There is a festive occasion for a Mexican zoo amid a rare birth boom in its lion enclosure. Keepers and visitors are amazed to hear roars of three newborn cubs. The three baby lions that are trying very hard to roar were born just 2 weeks ago in Zacango Zoo. And the zookeepers separate them from their mother for a few hours a day to feed them because their mother cannot produce milk. The two female and male cubs would live under constant surveillance for a couple of months so that their health is reassured. They are reported to be currently in good health.
A bunker built by the German army in France during World War II has now been given a new lease of life by turning it into an underground gas house. A 4,300 square feet bunker located off Breton coast in northern France was originally built by Nazi troops after invading the country in 1940. The area has been the home of hundreds of such fortifications of the German army. Half of them have been buried along sandy beaches. This underground guest house now belongs to the 52-year-old bunker enthusiast. Serge Goliot says it took 18 months to dig out the buried trench and turn it into a fully functional guest house. He says an attempt was made to preserve some historic aspects during its renovation.
What is nice is to now be able to spend time here, to have dinner, to spend the night in things like this. So we adapted the bunker while preserving a certain feel. We wanted to give the building a second life, so we are not going to live in the past forever. We saved some aspects, you know, where you are. There are historic cues, but this isn't a museum either.
Colliot says many French visitors and foreigners, including Germans, have stayed in the guest house since the bunker opened a year ago. The world's highest expressway has opened to traffic in China's Tibet Autonomous Region. It's nearly 300 kilometers long and has an average elevation of 4,500 meters. It connects the cities of Nanchu and Lhasa, shortening the travel time from 6 to 3 hours. The road passes through many picturesque areas, such as snowy mountains, grasslands, and wetlands. The expressway is also environmentally friendly. Special passages have been devised for animals to get from one side of the freeway to the other. An architectural firm in Singapore has come up with a unique idea to deal with a country's constant warm temperatures. A hotel on the island's busy business district has been covered with more than 20 species of creeping plants to keep the place cooler. A layer of vegetation blankets the facade of the Red Tower, which is growing thicker with the passage of time. The plants reduce the ambient temperature by a combination of water evaporation and releasing cooler vapor. The architect says the tower is 10 to 20 degrees Celsius cooler than nearby buildings. The green facades also reduce harmful carbon emissions, which account for over 20% in a sprawling city.
The annual Buddha sculpture has been unveiled at the New York State Fair to the delight of eager spectators. The artwork was sponsored for the 53rd year by the American Dairy Association. It was carved out of 400 kilograms of butter and took 10 days to build. The sculpture is dedicated to the children who will be going back to their normal lives after the coronavirus pandemic is over. Once the fair ends, all of the butter will be broken down and turned into renewable energy.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Almighty, dear brothers and sisters, Salamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to listen to this episode. The topic of this episode is how to cope with failure. Today, Monday, is the 28th of Muharram, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 15th of Shahrivar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 6th of September, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and we listen to chapter Al-Imran, verse 92.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون وما تنفقوا من شيء فإن الله به عليم.
Never will you attain the good reward until you spend in the way of Allah from that which you love. And whatever you spend, indeed Allah is knowing of it.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Following the promise given as to the recompense and reward for deeds, the blessed verse in question is saying that God Almighty bestows further favors upon those who have refrained from committing grave sins. Abstention from committing grave sins leads to forgiving their lesser sins. It is worthy of note that persistence in committing lesser sins turns them into grave sins.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
As usual, let's follow our topic, coping with failure and loss. Failure is part of being human. Suffering, defeat is something that everybody goes through. However, not everybody knows how to accept defeat gracefully and move on. Moving on to success is only possible if we become more resilient and find a way to turn failure into motivation. When we feel defeated, we must not struggle against it. Rather, we must accept the outcome. It is okay to feel disappointed, but we must try to move past that and shift into learning mode. We cannot learn from our defeats and failures if we beat ourselves up, feel sorrow for ourselves. Instead, accept that it is time to learn something new that will help you along the road to success.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to cope with failure. Now we find that those people who have experienced something unfavorable should remind themselves of the causes of those failures in order not to commit them anymore, in order not to repeat them anymore. And after that, people are expected to forgive themselves. Although we shouldn't blame other people for our failure or for other, unfavorable consequences we may receive. According to Gene Hammett, we have to be in a state of forgiving ourselves and pardoning ourselves in order to start to give ourselves another start and to experience another go in this regard. In order to give ourselves the spirit of going at another go, we have to be very much hopeful, and in order to do it, we are expected, to please ourselves, to do something that pleases us, because this type of pleasure and this type of, giving hope to ourselves go hand in hand. At the same time, we find that we have to be grateful to the blessings we have and to the virtues we have. It's really incredible to imagine that, for example, a person who has experienced a kind of failure or any kind of failure in any context doesn't have any merit or any virtue. Everybody is credited with having some virtues, and some of them may be specifically available in one person. The point is that we have to be able to identify our own merits and our own characteristics, our own vantage points, and we have to be able to understand that we have some abilities, some capabilities, and we can be a source of help both to ourselves and to other people.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special,
be like the earth, humble and wise, be like the rain.
Now, how to cope with failure according to psychology. Don't worry too much if you were overconfident and wrong. Overconfidence is not a good thing. It leads us to study less hard and make more mistakes. But let's say you take an exam and test feeling convinced that you are on top of the material and are getting pretty much everything right, only to receive a poor grade. Your initial confidence was clearly misplaced, no doubt. It was at least partly responsible for your failure. However, there is plenty of evidence that the surer you are about an answer that turns out to be wrong and is corrected, the better you'll remember the correct answer and use it in the future. This at least was one of the conclusions of a 2017 review of work on learning from errors at Columbia University. A strong degree of belief in the truth of one's errors makes them more rather than less susceptible to being correctable.
And to teach us the words of Allah, mercy and kindness and hope for everyone. Peace be upon you, O Muhammad.
Benefits of failure. This is IRIB English Radio. Today's special. One of the benefits of failure is about building perspective. So failure builds perspective. People who rebound after failure develop a better perspective on the reasons why they failed. they are more likely to blame the failure on something they did incorrectly, which can be changed or corrected for the next attempt. People who are badly affected by failing usually blame personal qualities such as not being clever enough, or they feel they don't deserve success. Another benefit is failure can make you work harder. Successful people have often said that their biggest failures became their greatest inspiration. They are refused to be bitten by failing and start again with even more self-motivation to succeed.
Success, something we yearn, strive, and fight for from the moment we realize what life is. Scholars say that a young man becomes mumayyiz before the age of puberty, meaning that he understands life concepts and life values. Thus, Islam recommends that we recommend to our kids they start praying and fasting from an early age before the age of puberty, because we as human beings, we start to understand life from a very early age. And from a very early age, we can see signs of success in different individuals in our community. And we start to value success. So every single human being, we will yearn, strive, and fight for success from that age to the time we depart from this world. Even an old man at the age of 90, he fights for success. For success. He wants to be successful every day till the last moment and his last breath. Alike, the topic and the issue of love that millions and millions of authors wrote about and talked about, and millions of articles were written for, because just like love, that every single one of us strive for to find in our lives, whether it is a life of another person, a spouse, or life of an entity that is more powerful than us, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or our love for our imams, peace be upon them. But we're in constant search of love. And we are in a constant search for ways to improve ourselves towards the path of success. So other people can say, yes, this person is successful. You can stand in the mirror and say, alhamdulillah, I can stand here today and say, I am successful. We as humans value success. And life's meaning is how much success we have had in this life. We value one another based on each other's success. This is how man values one another and himself when it comes to this dunya.
I think that's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, fi amanillah.
بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعلو به درجات بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعلو به درجات
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.